preached from Proverbs 11 last week, and tonight we go back. We'll go back a week's worth of Proverbs, back to chapter 4, for the message which I've entitled tonight, "Guard Your Heart." Largely, the text of the message is from verse 23, but we'll read the chapter in its fullness tonight. Can't get too much of the Word of God. Amen. Let's read, or you follow along as I read chapter 4, Proverbs, verse 1. "Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to know understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy step shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." Or verse 23, which is really the main focus tonight, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the opportunity we have to be here tonight. Lord, for a dry, cool building and a warm, wet evening. We thank you, Lord, for comfortable seats to sit in. And most of all, we thank you for a Bible to hold and to hear and to read. And for your presence here in our midst, because you said where two or three are gathered in your name, that you are in the midst. And so we thank you for that. Lord, thank you. I thank you for the opportunity that I have, this wonderful opportunity and yet a sacred, somber responsibility to open your word tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you'd use your word in all of our hearts and all of our lives. May we take the message, the verses, the words that you have for each one of us, Lord, and would you by your Spirit apply it to each of our lives according to the need of our individual situations. We pray, bless our pastor. We thank you for him, his faithful ministry and his wife's faithful ministry and the music and the children and the various things, including the sound and video. And Lord, we ask your blessing upon them tonight, wherever they may be on their vacation. Bring them back refreshed, encouraged, and strengthened, Lord, that we may rejoice with them and worship with them once again on Sunday. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The word "keep" in verse 23 means to guard. Of course, the heart, when we speak about the heart tonight, we're not talking about the physical organ that in our chest that pumps the blood through our veins and arteries. Some of those on our prayer list tonight for health have had issues with their physical heart. But we're talking about our spiritual heart tonight, which is the seat of our emotions and will. This message is primarily for Christians whose hearts have already been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, to help us to maintain our testimony and live a life pleasing to God. The applications of the message are varied, applying to family relationships as well as spiritually, including our attitude towards the Lord, His church, and His word. Basically three-point message, though there are some extra points in the second point. Three parts of the message: the importance of guarding your heart, the instructions to guarding your heart, and the impact of guarding your heart. Are the 3 points of the message tonight. So first of all, think about the importance of guarding your heart. Three things in verse 23, I think, indicate the importance of this admonition. First of all, it is a command, not a suggestion. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence. It doesn't say, hey, one thought is you might want to consider and think about is maybe thinking about keeping your heart. No, he says, keep it. Keep your heart. Guard it. It's a command. That indicates it's important. We're also told to do it with all diligence, another indication of the importance of it. Because the Lord says, do it with everything you've got. Don't just offhandedly, casually do it when you feel like it, but put your heart, put your attention on it. Do it with all diligence. That shows the importance of this command. And also, we are told that out of our heart come the issues of life. In other words, guard your heart because it's going to impact the rest of your life. It's a big impact on your life. Out of it come the issues of life. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 15:19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. So we need to realize the importance of guarding our heart. Hebrews 3 verses 12 and 13 says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So in those two verses, we see that an unguarded heart can cause or can become a hard heart. God said, don't let your heart be hard. Take heed. Don't depart in unbelief, but don't let your heart become hard through sin. So the importance of guarding your heart. Then the instructions of guarding your heart, which really is the bulk of the message tonight. Instructions for guarding your heart. First of all, get wisdom. Get wisdom. In verses 5 to 9, as we read it this evening, get wisdom. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of her mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. There's that word keep again. You want protection on your heart? You want your heart to be cared for and guarded? Get wisdom. Begin with wisdom. Verse 6 says it will keep you. Verse 8 says that it will bring you to honor. We know, according to the Word of God, that true wisdom comes from fearing God and heeding His Word. So spending daily time with God in prayer and the reading of His Word go a long way towards gaining wisdom and also guarding your heart. Think of Psalm 119, verses 9 to 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So if you want to guard your heart, get wisdom. And that wisdom comes from this book and from the author of the book. So spend lots of time with the Lord if you want to guard your heart. Also, not only get wisdom, but don't play around with temptation. Of course, wisdom would tell us not to play around with temptation. Look at verse 14 and 15. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Look at verse 15. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Hey, don't go to the brink of where temptation is. Stay as far away as you can from it. Isn't that what we tell our children when they're small? Don't go near the road. Well, I'm still on the sidewalk. It's okay. Yeah, but you're too close to the road. Get back. Because we don't want them to fall or, you know, something to happen. They would get into the road. So stay back. And God says, hey, you see temptation? Stay as far away as you can. Don't touch it with a 10-foot pole. If you want to guard your heart, don't play around with temptation. Let me say this. If you put yourself in the way of temptation, you will ultimately give in. My mom is a dog lover. She's been a dog lover all her life. She's in a nursing home now and with dementia, but all my life we've had dogs in the house. My mom loved dogs. The dogs that we most of the time had when we were growing up were Shetland sheepdogs or Sheltie dogs, miniature collies some people call them. They were one of my mom's favorite kind of dogs. And she also loved poodles. She had a poodle before she was married, and she had a poodle when I was probably just a preteen teenager. She got a poodle. But one day, back in, I think, the early 90s, I think it was shortly after Carolyn and I were married, which was 1990 when we got married, but my mom saw an ad in the paper, and it said, puppies for sale, Sheltie poos, Sheltie cross poodle. Well, you know what my mom, the dog lover, said, I'd like to go and just see them. I'm not going to buy one. I just want to go and see them. Well, I just told you, her favorite kinds of dogs, Shelties and poodles, and we all know puppies are the cutest little things that run around on four legs. So you know what my mom did? She put herself in the way of temptation. If she didn't want to buy a puppy, she should have never gone to see it, because Carolyn and I said to her, Mom, you can't, we know you. You can't just go and see a puppy and walk away. So we went with her, and guess what we came home with? A little puppy Sheltie poo. Ended up being called Mookie. At the time there was a Blue Jays baseball player, Mookie Wilson. Some of you may remember that, but she had heard that name, not that she was a baseball fan, but she just heard it. She thought, oh, that sounds, you know, like an interesting thing. So she called this dog Mookie. And let me tell you, it was a great dog. It was an oops dog. It wasn't supposed to be a Sheltie poo. The people bred poodles and I think Shelties, and one of the male poodles got into one of the female Shelties when it was in heat. It wasn't supposed to be bred, but they do breed them apparently intentionally. Some people do, because they're very good service dogs. My dad was dealing with ALS at the time, and that dog was a treat. I mean, it would say, just go get my slippers, Mookie, and it would go and get and follow my mom, wheeling my dad down the hallway in the wheelchair, carrying the slippers. It was a great dog. But I say all that to say this: if you put yourself in the way of temptation, you're going to come home with the dog. You're going to fall. It's just what happens, because we are weak. And so God says, stay away from it. If you want to guard your heart, stay as far away as you can from temptation. Don't go near it. Romans 13:14 puts it this way: but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't make provision. Don't make allowance. Don't say, well, it's okay, I'm strong enough, I can handle it. No, you can't. God says, avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Stay away. You've probably heard, if you give someone an inch, they'll take a yard. I metricized it to say, if you give the flesh a millimeter, it will take you a kilometer or more. You can't give the flesh. You can't give in to the flesh just a little bit. If you go near temptation, you're going to end up saying, sin took me farther than I wanted to go. It cost me far more than I wanted to pay, and it kept me a lot longer than I wanted to stay. Turn with me to James chapter 1, a similar thought. James chapter 1 is a great reminder of this truth. James chapter 1, it says in verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Look at verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. We're drawn away to go close to that temptation, and then we're suckered in. We're sucked in. We're enticed. Verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. We often have nobody else to blame but ourselves when we give in to temptation because we didn't do what God said. We didn't stay away from it. We went too close, and we got so close to the edge, the ground crumbled underneath us when we got to the edge. The flesh took over, and we gave in. God says, stay away. You want to guard your heart. Don't play around with temptation. And then also, back in our text here in Proverbs chapter 4, and look at verse 24. Guard your heart by getting wisdom, by not playing with temptation. Guard your heart by being careful what you listen to. Verse 24, Proverbs chapter 4. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Now, I'll be honest with you, until I was preparing and studying for the message, I often heard that verse and thought it meant don't use that kind of language, and I think that obviously is implied as well. But in the context of what we see in the chapter here, I think what we learn is don't listen to that kind of language. Don't listen to perverse lips and perverse words. Put them away from the froward mouth and perverse lips. A Bible commentator of many years ago, John Gill, a predecessor to Charles Spurgeon, said this about froward mouth and perverse lips. A mouth speaking froward and perverse things, things contrary to right reason, to the law of God and the gospel of Christ, blasphemies against God or men. Everything that is untrue, unchaste, unjust, foolish, and filthy. All swearing, lying, and everything repugnant to truth and justice. Yeah, that's quite a description, isn't it, of perverse words and lips. Well, we live in a day, sadly, where froward and perverse words abound, and it makes it difficult to avoid them. You can put them far away from you. Sometimes, you know, we're just going about our day, and we hear those things. I was out for a walk the other day, and I walked past a house, and I heard some four-letter words from over the fence. Like, I didn't intentionally go to hear that. I was just walking past the house, and that was what was coming out of the backyard or through a window. I'm not sure which the case was. So there are times, you know, we think, if, you know, at work, you may have people, co-workers, they may use this kind of language or whatever. You go to school, a public school, and you may hear these kind of words. You go to the mall, you may hear those kind of things being used. You say it's hard to avoid them in this world in which we live. And by the way, it's getting a lot worse. Years ago, I phoned into our local kitchen radio station during a talk show, and I complained to them, just one of those open phone-in times, and I phoned and I said, you know, I don't appreciate the fact that you're starting to use language that over the airwaves that at one time would have been trucker talk. And by the way, there's some good clean talking truckers, so that's not even a safe statement to make, but that was one way it was used to be described in time past. And the answer was, well, it's basically, it's society, it's what is used. And I said, but you realize that the more media uses it, the more society says, now we've got a one up or one worse than that, we've got to use a worse word to describe that because that is just used by everyone. So it's a degrading cycle, isn't it, of our language just gets degraded and downcast more and more. But you got to be careful what you listen to. I said it's sad that we live in a world where you can't hardly avoid those things, but you know what I find sadder still is when we as Christians willingly subject ourselves to that kind of language in various forms of entertainment, maybe music, maybe social media, maybe games, maybe the television or movies. And we say, oh, it's okay, I can handle it. It's just the language I hear used at work and all these kind of things. It doesn't matter. I'll listen to it in this scenario as well or whatever. But you know what? I'm convinced that it affects us a whole lot more than we realize. And if we're going to guard our hearts, we better learn that we've got to be careful what we listen to. Proverbs 19:27 says, "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge." And by the way, we think you can handle it. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 15:33. This is God's word, not mine. It's not Chris saying this. This is the word of the Lord. "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Well, communication is what you hear. It's what you speak, but it's also what you hear. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Don't be deceived, God says. Don't think, hey, I can handle it. It won't affect me. No, it just probably is affecting you a whole lot more than you realize. So be careful what you listen to if you want to guard your heart. And be careful what you look at. Look at verse 25 in our text again. "Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee." We need to be careful what we watch and look at. Again, there are things that we see in life that we don't necessarily choose to see, but there are many things that we choose to see, and that's what we've got to be careful of. I know you can't hardly look at the Walmart flyer without seeing pornography. Sometimes even the grocery flyers and car advertising flyers. I mean, it's all over the place. You say, I can't hardly walk down the street. Billboards have stuff on that we say, I shouldn't even see that. And that's hard. But again, just as it is with our hearing, so it is with our seeing. We need to make a choice about what we choose to look at. If you want to guard your heart, you've got to be careful what you choose to look at and watch. Proverbs 27:20 says this, "The eyes of man are never satisfied." The eyes of man are never satisfied. If you don't control your viewing habits, you'll never see enough to satisfy your eyes. That second look, it won't stop at the second look, because your eyes will never be satisfied. The flesh is not satisfied. You say, how do you know the second look won't be enough? Just ask David. You saw Bathsheba when he was walking on the roof of his house. He saw her, but he looked long enough to know where she was, where she lived, and saw and lust after her and have her brought to his house. He looked again, didn't he, when he should have turned away. He didn't guard his heart that day. I'm sure he would be the first one to admit that as we read it in the scripture. And you know, one thing led to another, because the eyes of man are never satisfied. Pornography has always been a problem, but with the instant and secret availability of it on electronic devices, it has only caused the problem to increase exponentially, resulting in the tragic consequences of sexual assault, broken homes, and an industry of sex trafficking which extorts scores of women and children. And so the psalmist said in Psalm 101, verse 3, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes." I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. The psalmist said, I made a decision. Things may come into my line of sight, but I'm not going to intentionally look at wicked things. Job said this in Job 31, verse 1. "I have made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid?" See, he realized that if he looked wrong way at a woman, it would affect his thinking. Why would I think upon a maid? So he made a covenant with his eyes. He said, I'm going to make sure I don't look at things I'm not supposed to look at, because then I'll think the things I shouldn't be thinking about. Which brings me to this realization, thinking about looking, what we look at and what we listen to. I'm reminded of what God tells us to think about in Philippians 4:8, as Brother Marr preached on Sunday night. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Now, bear with me for a moment. Say, we're talking about seeing and hearing and protecting our heart. Preacher, what are you talking about? Think. Because we know that our thoughts are largely impacted by what we see and what we hear. So it seems logical to use this list of things to think about as a prerequisite of what to look at and what to listen to, doesn't it? Because what we look at and listen to is going to affect our thinking. So if you want to control your thinking, as Brother Marr mentioned on Sunday night, according to Philippians 4:8, then why don't you just take that list of things to think about and say, this is the things I'm going to look at, and this is the things that I'm going to listen to. I think it would make a big difference in our life. Sure would cut down on a lot of listening and looking, I think. But for the better. So be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you look at. And ponder your path. If you want to guard your heart, you have to ponder your path. Verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. You know, we need to think about what the direction our feet are in, where it's going to end up, where it's going to take us. If you want to guard your heart, you better see where your feet are pointed, which way you're headed. Isn't that what Lot's big mistake was? He saw the well-watered plains of Sodom, and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He failed to consider the end of the direction that he chose. He got to Sodom, which is a place that, according to Peter, daily vexed his soul, as we read in Genesis, ultimately destroyed his family. Because he didn't ponder the path of his feet. He just saw the well-watered plains. He thought, hey, that looks nice. We didn't think about the direction that he was going, and he pitched his tent towards Sodom, because the Bible tells us that already when he pitched his tent towards Sodom, the people of Sodom were wicked and evil before the Lord continually. It was known, and yet Lot didn't think about where his feet were pointed except to think, hey, there's good pasture for my flocks. I'm going to head that way. But if you want to guard your heart, you better ponder the path of your feet. So that's the instructions for guarding our heart. Then the impact of guarding your heart. The impact of guarding your heart. Verse 19 says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Isn't it an amazing thing that the right things are life? The wicked, they're in darkness. They don't know what they're stumbling at. But the path of the just is as the shining light, verse 18 tells us, shineth more and more to the perfect day. You want to think about the impact about guarding your heart? Do you want to be stumbling around in the dark, not knowing where you're going? Or do you want to have a clear path of joy and victory in your life? Because that is the impact of guarding your heart. Unguarded heart leads to wickedness, because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It's prone to sin. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have a path that shines more and more to the perfect day than stumbling around in the dark and not know what I'm tripping over. Our text makes it abundantly clear, my friends, that we must guard our hearts, and that doing so will result in a far more enjoyable, godly, and peaceful life. You say, but I like those things. I don't want to have to filter my things that I watch and I listen to. I want to make my own choices. Well, you can make your own choices. You have to make your own choices, but remember, there's a big difference between a guarded heart and an unguarded heart. And God says it's important to guard your heart. He commands you to do it. He says do it diligently, and he says because out of it are the issues of life. It's an important thing to guard your heart. Now, you see, can't turn the clock back. You may say, boy, I wished I'd listened to this message 2 years ago, or last year, or a few months ago. But I didn't, and I've done some things. I've ended up listening and watching some things that I shouldn't have, and I didn't guard my heart like I should have done. Well, none of us can go back in time. We can't go back and undo the things that we've done. So we have to do what the psalmist said in Psalm 51, which is after David's sin with Bathsheba, after he didn't guard his heart that day on the rooftop. After he finally confessed his sin to the Lord, he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Wonderful promise in 1 John 1:9. It says, "If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So you can't undo what you've done, but you can confess it to the Lord, and then you can say, "Today, I'm going to guard my heart. I'm going to take the promises of God's word, the instructions that he gives, because I want the results of a guarded heart." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray you'd help us to take it to heart tonight. Lord, to realize that these truths are vitally important, Lord, as we live out our lives day by day. Lord, I pray that you'd just, by your Spirit,